Standing Rock. The Standing Rock debacle was aimed to create a fog of war and ignite the direct downfall of the Republic. We live toward the center of three major resource basins here in the U.S. The Trump era brought in a great conflict in our region, Standing Rock. The event was a conflict between the U.S. oil industry and various aligned interests. The aligned interests, including members of U.S. native tribes who wanted to see America's power diminished, anti-American Islamic groups, the Black Panther Party, a gaggle of wealthy, white, pasty, liberal American women, and others. The wedge issue was the Dakota Access Pipeline, which was moved above the Standing Rock Indian Reservation because the people of Bismarck didn't want to risk the pipeline polluting their water. Community is another way of saying country. Having pride in country somehow, perhaps through our schools, became a sin. Loving the country was called hatred of brown people. But to those tuning in to this particular issue closely, it was clear there were interests diminishing our social cohesion to make us weaker and unable to protect our economy and resources. Cutting off the pipeline would have killed the U.S. economy and created a disaster zone here, where in other nation states and organizations of various types could come in like vultures and pick the carcass. After removing the people from camp by force, the media portrayed the people there as litterers before bulldozing and loading the contents of camp, presumably for forensic analysis. The protesters were not allowed to clean up, but recall that the camp was populated by more than protesters. It was a beautifully designed, no-win situation that could have ripped the country apart. Through my own publication of information and presence on site, I gained credibility enough to help de-escalate the situation and maintain some respect from both sides, although I suspect some regional fossil fuel interests do not fully understand why and how I participated as an independent journalist, patriot, and community member in the area. The general framework of the Standing Rock attack was to create a large, shocking false flag. The Black Panther Party was bringing in agitators and prepping the Lakota to receive the violence as a rite of passage. Lakota were being used to try to create a massacre, global moral outrage, and foment anti-American angst in general. I believe the hope was that this consternation would spread, motivating violence in other regions of the country, and eventually causing a great civil war that would leave the country defenseless. I revere the Lakota people, not like pets, but like members of my family, like relatives. I couldn't stand idly by and allow a massacre of them that would be exploited by people not truly interested in the continuity of the Lakota people and culture. At the time, I did not fully understand the nature of the conflict. There was an unconventional war raging against the U.S. Switching to electric cars and clean energy would be the death of the economy, the death of the U.S. military, and the end of our protection and defense as a world superpower. It was necessary to protect the installation of that pipeline, to allow the U.S. the time to manage its own switch to any kind of alternative in a way that was not deleterious to its own interests. The Lakota people were being martyred by global interests who were trying to cause a false flag by creating a massacre to spark the chaos and fog of a civil war. I'm proud of the way I handled my contribution to the resolution of this event. It was crucial to have veterans involved, as well as many independent media and as many people watching as possible to ensure if something did happen, that blame could be properly assigned. I entered the conflict as an arbitrator and made a call for people to go to camp to ensure the safety of the Lakota. I paid advertising on Facebook asking veterans to go there and monitor the situation. I pleaded with everyone I knew to help manage this conflict. I spent 18 hours a day monitoring non-mainstream media live feeds of the events happening here, and I felt I can bear fair witness to these events. In my mind, both sides are accountable for doing things the wrong way under harsh and difficult circumstances. I'm really glad that phase is over. After all that I witnessed, one thing stood out more than anything else. It wasn't the sight of the camp kitchen to which we dropped sprouts and oranges. It wasn't the sight of that blue Chevy pickup hauling wood logs and hay bales the day violence erupted, flanked by police cars going at breakneck speeds. It wasn't the water cannon spraying protesters in the freezing cold. It was police on top of the hill on Thanksgiving Day, having dinner on top of Rose Allard's deceased relatives. I was chilled and angry that nobody on the hill recognized the importance of creating a moment of reconciliation. Inviting a single protester to that dinner would have been the shot for peace and common sense heard round the world, a huge missed opportunity indicative of the lack of visionary leadership so desperately needed by patriots. In a stunning twist, President Trump turned out to be the man and to provide that leadership. As people were calling him racist, he was inviting pro-American interests of all colors, faiths, and backgrounds, and walks of life to be part of the pro-America movement. There were two camps on site, one militarized and one non-militarized. The militarized encampment did not allow us to visit or inspect. The other camp did, but we had a Lakota escort because the camp was not safe for white children. We witnessed Muslim interests and others give us the shady side eye. We made our way to the center of camp. We watered the pony at the request of an elderly Lakota woman. When walking away, the horse neighed to us several times. We looked back to see it, ears perked up, paying very close attention to us in what I could only imagine was a thank you gesture. Then the fires started. Having a high-speed internet connection in our home, being with our kids, and watching several live streams of this event unfolding from multiple sources at once gave us a good perspective as a family on what was happening at Standing Rock. One source of live, unedited feeds was an outfit called Unicorn Riot, an independent, left-wing media outlet. As the camp was growing, these folks were a hub of raw reports and video feeds coming out of camp. We saw information corroborated that the Dakota Access Pipeline permits were not approved, but we also saw organized, professional agitators attempting to foment conflict between crowds of resource responsibility advocates and police. Standing Rock was an organized event to create a civil war and grow anti-U.S. sentiment among U.S. Indian agencies, inner-city minorities, and the poor. The whole event was nothing more than an opportunity for the deep state to gain traction among lovers of American Indian history and culture. There are a lot of us. On a cold and snowy night, deep into autumn, Tulsi Gabbard took the stage. Dramatically, she asked the Lakota on the last bridge of a peaceful ground, "Do you want us to fight these soldiers?" The response through inaction was no. Tulsi became the quote-unquote hero by quote-unquote defusing the event during a cold and snowy engagement between military and the tribes. At this time, I would be shocked if this didn't make it into a campaign video for her presidential run. It's the most valuable piece of political footage imaginable in a world comprised of mostly peace seekers. In order to do the pipeline, permits were required. Dakota Access Pipeline was drilling undercover without these permits, presuming Trump would take office and that no prosecution would occur. It was a move of desperation that turned many people against the project and against America. It seemed a perfectly designed wedge issue. Our country was really lucky to have survived. Moral victories are not like other victories, but if that's all you've got to hang your hat on, by God, you hang your hat. The pipeline was originally proposed to be put in north of Bismarck, but the citizens there got together and opposed it to protect the water. So, naturally, it was put in north of the reservation instead. When the reservation tried to oppose it, they were not quite so successful. Without that pipeline, the American economy would be sent into a tailspin. It bears repeating how desperate that situation had become. Hidden from view, tarps were set up at the drilling site over the rig. Dakota Access Pipeline and others were saying no drilling was occurring. Police barriers, surveillance, and intelligentsia were between the protesters and the site. and only drones could fly over and take pictures, but no evidence of early drilling was discovered, despite what our best common sense might be telling us. I watched as sophisticated equipment was used to disrupt drone communication in a back and forth of information gathering and suppression. It was highly probable that there was illegal drilling occurring before Trump took office, but the evidence has not been obtained and/or widely distributed. The crux of the issue is that the continuity of the Republic was more important than slowly navigating the field of legal landmines put in place to harm American fossil fuel interests. Tried to build a dam, but a pool would grow. They could not cover up what we all would know, that water flows. Yeah, the water flows. Then a man from the crowd says it proud and loud. It's a good day to die. Then a message from the cloud says it's time to grow. Be that water flow. Be the water flow.